If you look at your top of your life point outline, this message, I initially told you last week that next Sunday we're going to start the series, You Asked For It. So I'm moving that. All right, that's going to go to the second Sunday in June because this message turned into two parts. I can't give it all to you in one time, and I just think it better divides itself for me to do winning and losing at life part one. And then next week, we're going to talk about winning and losing part two. And we're going to talk about the power. Today, I'm going to talk about what we need to do. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about how we can do it. All right? So that's what we're going to be looking at. Two passages, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Paul says, speaking to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight. I just want you to think about that. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Then Paul, again, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9:26 in the Living Bible, he told these church people, he said, I, Paul, fight to win. I fight to what?
Win.
To win. Paul said, you want to know what my approach to life is? I fight every day, and I fight to win. He said, I fight to win. And he said, I'm not just shadow boxing. You know, he said, I'm not just... You know, he said, I'm throwing punches. I'm hitting something. And so, you know, there are a lot of famous battles in American history. I thought about, you know, we've got the Revolutionary War, and of course, one famous battle there was Bunker Hill, right? And then you've got the Civil War, there was Gettysburg. World War II, probably the one that first pops into my mind is D-Day. One of the things, when you look at Scripture, the Bible talks about the battle of all battles that is still yet to come. And that, of course, is the Battle of Armageddon that is coming. The Lord says it is going to come and will be here. And basically the end of history as we know it on this planet. Things are going to totally change as God just lets everything start to come apart. Now, what I want you to understand is today is about the personal internal battles that go on inside of me and go on inside of you. Okay, so what I want to talk about the personal battles you are fighting. And the personal battles that I am fighting. And why do I say that? Because it is something that's obvious, but it just bears repeating, and that is that the Bible says life is a battle. Can you say that with me? Life is a battle. I want you to think about that, because that's what the Scripture says. And isn't it true? Nothing comes easy in this world. Would you agree with that? You know, maybe you've kind of gotten down about that. You know, it's like, man, this is tough. God says nothing comes easy in our world. You know, the 70 plus years that we get on this planet are no picnic. They are a real challenge to us. And the Bible tells us why. The Bible says, Catherine and I live, our children and our grandchildren live in a broken world. And so, when I think about my grandchildren getting married in the years to come, I realize they're going to get married. They're going to try to start building a life, and they're going to try to do it in a world that's messed up. They're going to try to do it in a world that is broken. And so here's the question that the message seeks to address, and that is, when we think about life, are you winning or are you losing in the battle of life? Sometimes we just put on a kind of a facade, this fake face. And we want to come across and act like, you know, I'm doing okay. When in reality, we're really not. So what I want us to do, I want us to be just honest today. And look at the first truth, if you will, in your life point outline. For the child of God, life is a series of unending internal battles. And I think that's telling because when you look at Holy Scripture, one of the most often used analogies for a Christian and for the Christian life is that of a soldier. You know, the first one is an athlete. And so what God is simply saying is, life is a struggle. How many of you would like better health? You want that? Okay, hands going up, all right. Do you know what? It's not going to be given to you. If you have better health, you're going to have to fight for it. It's going to be a struggle. If you want a good marriage, you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to struggle to get it. It will not come easy. It is possible, it is feasible, but it is not going to come easy. If you want your kids to succeed in life, you will have to struggle as long as they're at home to maintain influence in their life. Because if you lose your child's heart, if you lose their heart, you lose the right, the power to speak into their life. And so one of the greatest challenges for me as a dad and as a grandfather is to maintain the right to walk into the life of my sons. I have to work at the right to walk into the life of my grandkids. I can lose that right. Does that make sense? And so can you. It doesn't matter that your blood is flowing through their veins. You lose the power of influence and the door into their life will shut in your face. They will not listen to you. And so that is a struggle. If I want them to succeed, I've got to maintain influence in their life and I've got to help them battle their weaknesses because they've got weaknesses just like you and I do. If I want to bring balance to my life, I'm going to have to struggle against clutter. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for your life to get cluttered? Yikes. You know, and you have to fight that. There are a lot of things in this world that are okay. They're not necessarily bad, but they're just not necessary. And if I'm not careful, my life can get filled up with things that I don't need in my life, you know, I can get just way too used to that. So here's the insight I want you to notice in your life point outline. There are two battles in every life. Number one is cosmic. There's a cosmic battle in my life between good and evil. It's going on today. It's going on right now. And the same cosmic battle is going on in your life. The second battle is personal. There's a battle in every one of us between what's okay and what's best. Because there are a lot of things that are okay, but they're not the best. Does that make sense? A lot of times we just want to know, is it okay? That's not the question. The question is it the best? Is it the best for you? There are things my Father in heaven and your Father in heaven wants to give you this year. Can you say amen to that? God says, there are things I want to do in your life. My mercies are new every morning. There are things I want to do for you. But he says, many of these things you are going to have to fight for. That's why we go back to our text and Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. What I want you to understand is, that fight is internal. There is this fight going on inside of me. I want you to listen. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is from the Living Bible. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. I don't want to get into like Star Wars, all right? But here's the deal. Here's what God just said. God said there really is a dark side to our universe. He said there really is. And it is an evil spiritual world. It is a world I cannot see and you cannot see. But God says, you understand this. It is real. It is real. It is there every day that you and I wake up. And it is totally against you and me following Jesus and our lives. What that means is my life and your life is going to be a series of internal battles unless I have surrendered. And if I don't have these internal battles going on, then that means I've surrendered. That means something's wrong, all right? If you're living right, there's going to be a battle inside of you. I'm a child of God. If you know that you're a born-again child of God, let me tell you what you are. You and I are a blend of good intentions and bad actions. Would you agree with that? That's not what I intended to do. But I did. I did the very thing I didn't want to do. Not everything I intend to do, do I do. Rather, I wind up doing exactly what I had no intentions of doing. That is so frustrating. Here's the truth in your outline. All Christians struggle in a war between the old sin nature that we were born with and our new nature that we get from God when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are born again. And just to rehearse that, the Bible says that this old sin nature wants The old sin nature in me wants what is easy. It wants what is pleasing to the flesh. But the new nature that I got when I received Christ, it wants to please God, and it wants to do everything that is contrary to what my old sin nature wants to do. So what does that mean? It means there is this war inside of me. You remember that old story about the Cherokee chief? He talked about his internal battle, and he said, inside of me every day, there is this fight that goes on between a black dog and a white dog. And they asked him, well, chief, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are either feeding our dark side, our flesh nature that we were born with, or we are feeding our new nature that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has described this battle so clearly in Romans chapter 7. Listen to what Paul said. He said, the good things I want to do, I wind up not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. How many of you can identify with that? And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. You just hear that frustration. He said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And how many of us have said that when we've had that argument with the man or the woman that we love so much, or we've had that fallout with a child or with somebody that's a friend, and we're just like, why does that always keep happening? Why do I keep putting my foot in my mouth? Why do I keep shooting myself in my foot? Why do I do that? Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, thank God, Jesus will. The thing is, do we understand what it's going to take? And God says there's going to be a battle. Listen to verse 22 and 23 in Romans 7 again. He said, I want to do God's will as far as my new nature is concerned. In other words, I want to do what's right. I know all of you want to do right. You know how I know that? Because this is a holiday weekend and you're in worship. Give yourself a hand clap. Come on. Yo, I'm here, Lord, right? I'm here. Why? Because I want to do right. And that's what he said. I want to do God's will as far as my new nature is concerned. So you won that battle this morning. Yay, God. And then he says, but there's something else deep within me, my old nature. The stuff that I was just born with. I mean, it was in me the moment I took my first breath, and the same thing with you. And then there are those things I've learned along the way. Those things that I have gotten into my life, those habits and all those things that I've just picked up along the way. That's the old nature, and it's grown and it's developed. And he says, it is at war with my mind in Jesus Christ, and it fights to win. And many times it wins the fight. It makes me a slave to the sin still within me. So here's the insight. The biggest battles ahead of you and me in 2018 are not with people. They're with your sin nature that wants to control you. Now, I hope I have laid the foundation. There is a war going inside of us. Now, I want to give you, in the minutes that are remaining, I want to tell you, I think, three of the biggest battles that every one of us face. Certainly not the, you know, conclusive or all, it's all done. These are the only three, but I think these are three of the big ones. All right, number one is the battle to make life all about you. That's my first battle, to make life all about me, all right? Every day, all day long, I have to make a conscious decision. You know what that decision is? Either I'm going to live for God or I'm going to live for John. And there's a lot inside of me that wants to live for John. I like John. There's something inside of me that wants to do it my way. And here's the insight. Every time you win the selfishness battle, your life gets easier because there's less conflict. Do you realize that? Every time you and I say yes to what God wants to do in our life, my life and your life gets easier because there's less conflict. Now, this is going to be an eye-opener for some of you. And the reason is this. Now, listen. Selfishness creates conflict with who? Whoever. Whoever's closest to you. When you are selfish, you're going to have a battle. You're going to fight your wife. You're going to fight your husband. You're going to fight your kids. You're going to fight your parents. James 4, verse 1. Do you know where your fights and arguments come from? Now, this is insight. Do you know where your fights and arguments come from at home, husband and wife? Do you know where your fights and wars come from between you and the kids? He's fixing to tell you. They come from the selfish desires that make war inside them. No, inside you. Then when you don't get what you want, you quarrel and fight. Now listen to me. The conflict in our homes with our spouses, the conflict with our children or with mom and dad, you know, you're out of the house, but there's still this battle going on with mom and dad or with people at work. None of those fights start with them. You're like, you are so wrong. That is the dumbest statement, preacher, you've made since last week. None of those fights start with them. They start with selfishness in you. I did not want to write that down. But that's Bible. And here's the reason why. If I have a humble spirit, if I'm walking in the spirit of Jesus Christ, the weaknesses in Catherine, my wife, are not that big of a deal to me. Because you see, life's not all about me. And I can be much more tolerant of her because I walk in humility. And so bothersome ways or poor decisions or sins don't bother me near as much. Why? Because I'm not making it all about me. I'm not thinking about John. And it's real easy for me to think about John. Is it real easy for you to think about you? Would you say yes to that? Okay. There's where the problem is. We think way too much of ourselves and not enough about somebody else. Here's the truth in your outline. The more selfish I am, the more I get irritated with those around me, even family. You know, it's like, you're standing on my last nerve. Here's Philippians 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish, be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Let me tell you a mistake that I make. Often I make a mistake between two things, humility and self-pity. And usually we get those turned around. Usually we will think that humility, people say, well, you know, humility, if I walk in humility, I look at myself, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm just a piece of junk. That's not humility. That's self-pity. Okay? That is not biblical. Jesus Christ never died for a piece of junk. Did Jesus die for you? All right, then you're not junk. God doesn't die for junk. God didn't do that. God saw value in you and me. And the cross of Jesus, his suffering, shows me how valuable I am in the eyes of God. Here's the insight. You and I are incredibly valuable, but we are deeply flawed. And if you're married, you are a deeply flawed man or woman who married a deeply flawed other sex person. I didn't know how to land that plane. All right, so at every altar, there are two deeply flawed sinners getting married. It's a wonder any marriage works. Here's a definition. Humility isn't thinking less of myself. It is thinking of myself less. It's just thinking about me less. And when you walk into a room and your first thought is, what does everyone think of me? That's being self-centered. That is being self-centered. Humility is walking into work. It is walking onto our campus here. It is walking into your home. And the first thing that's on your mind is, I just wonder what my wife or what my husband needs today. I just wonder what kind of a day they've had. I wonder, God, help me be sensitive. Maybe he or she just needs a hug. Maybe they just need me to, more than anything else, just listen about their day. See, because it's not all about me. So our first greatest battle is making life less about me and more about God and more about others. The second battle is to let go. The second biggest battle in my life is to let go. Here's the insight. The battle to let go is the battle between forgiveness and bitterness. You see, this planet I live on and you live on is broken. And we are a planet full of broken people. And you know what that means? That means I get hurt. It means that you get hurt. And sometimes we get hurt on purpose. Sometimes we get hurt by accident. And I would imagine that in this congregation this morning and in every service, the next two services, there are several people who had some deep hurts already this year in the first 5 months of 2018. Certainly last year, you had some deep, deep hurts. All right? I totally get that. Your battle is going to be between forgiveness and bitterness. That's the battle. Here's the insight in your outline. You cannot control what people do to you, but you can control your response. I can't control other people. I determine how long a hurt hurts. And so if we are bitter about something that happened 8 years ago, that is not the fault of the devil. That is our fault. If you're still mad at something mom and dad did back when you were in high school, that's your fault. I cannot control what people do to me, but I can control how I respond to what people do to me and how long I let it hurt me. If you don't believe that, listen to Hebrews 12:15. Watch out that no bitterness take root among you. In other words, don't let it bear root. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble. If I'm not careful, hurt will bring on bitterness and it will just continue to mess up my life and to be a weed in my life. It causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. I cannot control what somebody does to me. I cannot control someone hurting me. But I am responsible if a hurt takes root in my heart and produces bitterness. That's my fault. That's my fault, God says in the Word. Ephesians 4:26, if you get angry, don't sin by holding on to it. See, it isn't necessarily sinful to get angry, right? Not all anger is sinful. There are some things, you know, all this stuff in the Me Too movement. You know, and I see all these men, you know, affecting the lives of so many women and just crossing these boundary lines. That needs to make us angry. Would you agree with that? We need to be mad about that. That has no place in anything. It just has no place. And so it's not necessarily sinful to get angry, but it is sinful if I hang on to the anger, because that's not anger, that's resentment. That's bitterness. And here's the insight I found in my study. Here's the insight. Anger is an emotional response to either fear, frustration, or pain. I think those three things make us angry. You know, something scares me. I hate it when somebody scares me, like Pastor Stacy. I made the mistake of going to a horror movie with that man. And right in the middle of a blood-curdling scene, he grabs my arm. I scream like a girl. And I went, God. First thing it did was make me mad. You don't ever grab me, and especially in the dark. Especially when I'm watching something like that. So, you know, something scares you, and then once you kind of settle down, it makes you mad. Or you get frustrated. You know, you can't get it fixed. It won't work. It makes you mad. Somebody hurts you, you get mad. So here's the truth. Not all anger is sinful, but all nursed anger is sinful. Anger becomes sinful when I hang on to it. Let me tell you something. It is a guarantee if you're married, you're going to get hurt. Can I get an amen? Right. That's true. See, the rest of you, you're not being willing to be truthful. If you get married, you're going to get hurt. Why? Because you're marrying a sinner. You're marrying somebody who will at sometimes think of themselves over you. Husbands and wives hurt each other. Sometimes we hurt each other on purpose. Sometimes we hurt each other by accident. But here's the truth in your outline. All great marriages are a union of two great forgivers. You say, I want to have a great marriage. Good. God does too. You have to be a great forgiver, or you'll never have a great marriage. All right? And then number three, let me land the plane on this, the battle between what's easy and what's right. I think one of the most insightful passages on life is Galatians 5:17. Listen to what it says. What your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. They are opposed to each other. As a result, you don't always do what you intend to do. Would you agree with that? I want to be healthy. I want to live a healthy life. Okay? I want to have a healthy weight. My problem is my flesh loves donuts and cheesecake and fried chicken. I love all that. But there's something inside of me that wants to be healthy. My new nature wants me to go to the gym. It wants me to exercise. It wants me to keep my weight down. It wants my energy level to be up. My old nature loves to sleep in. My old nature loves to recline on the couch and to watch the tube or watch movies or whatever. My old nature loves all of that. And so it fights getting up and going to the gym. So when my alarm clock goes off at 4:30 in the morning, I never have a discussion with my flesh. I don't get in a conversation. That is a bad thing to do. Don't even talk. Don't let it talk to you. You're like, nope, not going to discuss it. You know, it's because you'll lose. My organized nature wants, or my new nature wants an organized life. My old nature loves chaos, clutter, dust. It loves that. It's willing to live in it. My new nature wants peace in our house. My old nature is overly sensitive. My old nature demands respect from my wife. It demands it. My old nature has a short fuse. My old nature is not long-suffering. And so there is this battle. So here's the insight. Fatigue increases the power of my old nature. It is not good for me or you to get tired. Why? Because all of us need rest. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not half as bright as you think you are. That is just ridiculous. We all have a load limit. You've got a load limit. So do I. There's only so much my body can handle. Maybe no one can call you lazy, and you take pride in it. Say, nobody can call me lazy. But the greater question is not, can somebody call you lazy? The greater question is, can your family call you loving? Are you gripey? Are you a pain to be around? Why? Because you are ridiculously tired. And you're worn out. And your flesh is powerful when you're tired. And you don't live the way you ought to. Every parent here at one time or another has failed to discipline a child who needed it. Would you agree with that? Why? Because you're like, I just don't want to go through it. Oh, that is so wrong. That is so, but I'm just too tired. You know, and so when you don't have the energy to do the right thing, what do you have to do? You have to think about what is the long-term benefit. The kids maybe have been on that video game way too long, but you just want to face the fight, you know, get them in, turn off that, get out of there, off the iPad and all that and everything. And it's just like what you're doing is you're giving in, you and I are giving in to short-term relief and we're not thinking about long-term benefit. That's the battle between what's right and what's easy. See, that's a battle. What's right and what's easy. And when you're too tired to do the right thing, the only way you can overcome it is by thinking of the long-term benefits. Most of the problems that I see when I watch television today with today's youth come from parents giving in to short-term relief and failing to think about the long-term benefits. And I know, we're tired. We work a lot. You remember our series at the beginning of this year was The Year That We Changed. You remember that? We did that? Hope you remember that. In the spirit of that series, I want you to answer this question. What's not right in your life? Not your husband's or your wife's life, not your kid's life. What's not right in your life that you need to get mad enough about to change? But you've been letting things slide. Maybe it's because you're tired. What's not right in your life? Your life, not hers, not his, not theirs. Your life that you need to get mad enough about to change. That you would say, Father, by your grace, I am not going to carry this garbage into the next year. This is going to get taken care of. Here's what I want to do. I've left you a blank down there at the bottom of your outline. So we're at the end of the message, but I want you to listen. If we just land the plane on this. I want to go through and I want to give you some things that maybe need changing or you need to focus on. And I want to give those to you. And I just want you to listen to them the first time. And then I go back through. And what I want you to do, I want you to pull out the one that maybe bings you. It's like, bing. Okay, that's me. That right there. That's what I need to focus on. All right, so here they are. Let me just read them. And then I'll go back and I'll read them one at a time. And you can write down if you hear one. All right. With God's help, I'm going to fight for better health. With God's help, I want a closer walk with Him. I want a great marriage and a peaceful home. I want to fight for strong, confident children. I want to fight for my spiritual growth. I want to fight to get out of debt. I will, by God's grace, break the pressure of unpaid bills. I want to fight for a daily time with God's word. I want to fight for hope over despair. I am tired of just hanging my head all the time. I want to fight for victory over fear. I want to be the real me. Not what somebody else wants me to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be me. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. All right, let's go back through these. I've given this to you. I want you to, if you haven't already, I want you to write down the one that you think just bings you. If none of these do, then write down what it maybe stirs inside of you, okay? And then we're going to be done. All right, here we go. Number one, I'm going to get mad enough that with God's help, I'm going to fight for better health. I want to fight for a closer walk with God. I want to fight for a great marriage and a peaceful home. I want to fight for strong, confident children. I want to fight for my spiritual growth, and I've been lazy in that. I want to fight to get out of debt, and I want to break the power and the pressure of unpaid bills. I want to fight for a daily time with God's word. I'm tired of walking in despair. I want to fight for hope over despair. I want to fight for victory over fear. And I want to be the real me, not what somebody else wants me to be. All right? So I hope you'll just write that down. That's kind of your direction. All right? What we've done today is we've talked about the what. All right? God willing, next Sunday, we're going to talk about the how. What does God's word say? How do I get the power to change in my life? Let's stand together. Would you please? I want to lead us in closing prayer. We've got some announcements to make. I ask you to be seated just for a moment. We'll watch that and then you'll be dismissed. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. Thank you for being here this morning. Father, thank you for the word. Lord, thank you for teaching us this morning the things in this message, Father, that are so where we are that we tend to let stuff slide over time. We get lazy or negligent in certain areas of our life. And so, Father, you've shown us the what. You've raised up inside of us what it is that needs to change. And now, Father, hang on to us. May these words be strong in our heart. And Lord willing, may we be brought back next Sunday, next Lord's Day, on the how. Where does the power to change come from? We thank you now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.